Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Today we've got a really cool guest that I had the pleasure of being interviewed on his podcast not so long ago. And that's Patrick Wu, who wrote the book, The Art of Wooing. And he's got some cool stuff with us to share with us today. So I'm excited to have you on, Patrick. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much, Robbie. I'm super excited as well.
So give us, your background, your story. When I came on your podcast, we had a lot of similarities. And I think we're around the same age. So I'm looking forward to hearing your story in detail after you kind of heard mine.
Yeah.
So I know we both kind of, we're both from Southern California, got into the game and, you know, the whole sort of like improving ourselves with women around the same time, I believe, and worked with a lot of the same people across a lot of the same paths. So I'm ready. Yeah. Give us the
down low, right? The low down.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, similar to you, I had a similar story where, you know, I was just what you call a social late bloomer. So for a lot of my life, I just never talked to women. Like in high school, I actually, at the very end of high school, I actually almost became the homecoming king, which is kind of random. But even when I had that, I never even really had a friend that was a woman. So I was like, I don't get this. Like, I somehow made it. Yeah.
How did you almost become the, like, usually that's like the most popular guy in school, the homecoming king, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, I was kind of more like the joke. I was like, oh man, wouldn't it be funny if Patrick was the homecoming king? And it was like the whole school was trying to get me to that, it felt like. But for some reason, I was like, even with all these women coming up to me in high school, I still didn't have a friend that was a girl. I was just like, so not in it that I was like, well, what's the point of even talking to them when I know that it's not going to work anyways, even though I had all this happening for me. So,
wait, so you had girls that were interested in you, but you weren't sure what to do with that, or you
didn't? No. I had girls saying hi and I would just say hi. And then I would just like walk away.
Okay. So you were kind of like a sort of like a nice guy.
You could say that. I mean, I'm still a nice guy. It was just that I was a quote unquote nice guy back in the day.
I guess, and I was meaning like the inauthentic nice guy that, you know, the guy who tries to use being nice to meet women, which is what I was, right? I talk about that a lot.
Yeah, I think I was even one step lower than that. I think I was the guy who wasn't even like talking to women. So they'd be like, I don't even know who that guy is. He could be nice.
He might be nice.
But we don't really know. Yeah. And throughout, like, and just kind of speeding things up, I remember from high school to even college, I mean, I didn't go on to a college date until I was like 20 years old. And I remember when I was, you know, one of my first dates, and you know, there was this one woman that actually kind of said yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, she said yes, that she's going on a date. And we went to this date to Chipotle. And after the Chipotle date, I remember walking her to her dorm steps. And right as I was walking into her place, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have my first real kiss with someone I like, and this is going to be great. So I stood in front of her, you know, by the doorway. And I was just like, just kind of waiting for that magic moment that those movies have, right? So I'm just standing there and I'm like, okay, something's supposed to happen. She's supposed to make a move. I'm supposed to make a move.
You had already bought her Chipotle.
Yeah, we had this amazing Chipotle date. This is what's supposed to happen next. So we stood in front of each other but nothing happened. So I was like, oh, okay, this is getting awkward. And I kind of bowed down under the tension. So I said to her, hey, Samantha, I have a secret. And she's like, what's your secret? Oh, I really like you. And she's like, oh. And she's just kind of like, really awkward at this point. And she's like, well, Patrick, I like you, but just not in that kind of way. Can we be friends? And this is like, I was just so frantic. I was like, oh my God, of course. Yeah, of course we can be friends. And then I just kind of like, yeah, we'll just be friends. Keep things okay. It's not awkward. And I remember walking away in the biggest defeat moment of my life, just completely crushed. And I remember in that moment, I was thinking, okay, I kind of have to figure this part out. And I remember from that moment on, I had this idea of, I'm going to figure this out no matter what it takes. And so I went on this crazy journey, kind of similar to yours, where I just had to figure out this whole dating thing, because a lot of it wasn't working. So how do I start living the romantic life that I actually want to live? And so I just kind of dived down a lot of different rabbit holes to figure things out. One of which was being in the whole game. Mm-hmm. And so I learned all the, you could say, all the tricks to dating. I learned all the techniques. And for a lot of years, you know, I had some success, but even with all that success, even with all the things that I learned, I was still kind of struggling a lot. And I couldn't really figure out why, because I was like, I'm doing all the right things. I'm saying all the right things that everyone's telling me to say. But the thing that was missing that I realized was I was kind of losing a piece of myself in the process. And I felt like this robot of like just saying the things I was supposed to say, as opposed to what I just wanted to express out of myself. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was because of that woman, Samantha, because I got rejected into this friend zone, in this friend zone area, I ended up kind of being more guarded and being like, well, I can't do that again, because if I do that, I'll just keep following into that same pattern of getting friend zone. So I'm gonna be this super cool guy instead. And I played this cool character for a long time. So that's kind of like where it all kind of started for me when it came to my story. And then, yeah.
So that reminds me a lot of similar story I had. And you know, those situations where as a guy, you put a lot of pressure on yourself to perform. And then when you get friend zoned, it's so devastating, you know, and they can set you back for a long time. Luckily, it sounds like you kind of started, you know, using that as a springboard to improve yourself. And you were 20 at that time?
I was 20 years old at that time. Okay. Yeah.
So what did you do? What sort of stuff did you study, and what did you get into? And you said you found like you were learning stuff to do, but then losing yourself in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So basically the thing that really changed a lot for me was one day I remember thinking, okay, if I keep going down this route, that means I have to keep playing this cool, smooth character. When can I finally be myself? And I had this thought, like, when can I actually act as myself? Because I'm holding myself back, it feels like. And then I met this woman where I met this woman where I was just madly in love with, you know, after doing all this, you know, dating stuff, I finally met this woman where I was like, I'm so into her. I like her so much. But, you know, same story. I liked her a lot, but she was always like, you know, Patrick, I see you as my best friend. I see you as all these things, but I just don't see you as that romantic partner. And I remember chasing after her, becoming what she wanted for 2 years. and I was like, wow, that didn't work. Because I remember there was one moment where she said to me, Patrick, you know, I really love you. Oh, no, sorry. I really like you. And I want to fall in love with you, but I know I will never do that. And I remember thinking, what else do I got to do to get someone to like me? I've been training myself to be this cool person, this awesome person, this better person, but still this kind of failed me. Mm-hmm. And then I start falling into the route of, oh, well, what if I actually can be myself, quote unquote? What if I actually can? And I realized that after all these years, kind of coming full circle, the reason why a lot of things didn't work out for me was because I was kind of actually holding myself back. Like I didn't know how to express myself, how my insides were not matching my outsides. So when I kind of aligned everything together, how I felt on the inside to the outside, that's when everything started to change for me. And I started meeting the actual women that I actually liked, as opposed to the women that I didn't really per se like, but I could see an expiration date to that.
When you say you felt like you weren't being yourself, is that because you were using like lines or techniques or tactics that didn't feel authentic? And then how did you align yourself? What were kind of like the things that happened that made you feel like you were aligned versus?
Oh yeah. Well, that's a really great question, by the way, Ravi. Yeah. So I guess the main thing that I felt misaligned with was the biggest thing was that I felt like I had to play a character, right? So
that was a cool guy.
That was a cool guy, right?
Okay.
So if I had to play the cool guy, that means I had to maintain whatever the cool guy says, right? So everything that I did was, okay, I have to use these lines. I have to keep this character. And it was kind of exhausting because the thing that I noticed that changed everything for me was that when I realized that who I was not a character, and that I am a multifaceted human being, then I could be the cool guy sometimes. I could be the sad guy sometimes. I could be the nice guy sometimes. And so when I saw that I could be every one of these characters, because none of these characters were actually me, then I can actually be myself. And I guess you could call myself as my true self is my oneness, my spirit, or what you call it. And when I start to express myself through my spirit, that's kind of what kind of changed everything, in terms of attracting the right person.
So were you, and what was your dating life like? I mean, obviously it sounds like you were maybe a little bit of a pattern of getting overly invested in a woman who wasn't reciprocating that investment. So yeah, what kind of changed? Were you dating a lot of women after that? Were you what was going on with the lifestyle stuff?
So I was, the thing was, I this is where I felt misaligned, right? You know, because I felt that there at one point there were a lot of, because I was always, I was always kind of encapsulated or entranced by the idea of like dating a lot of women and sleeping with a lot of women. And so when I went that route, I remember thinking, oh, I don't really want that. Like, I'm doing this because, everyone tells me this is the cool thing to do. This is what you're supposed to do. This is freedom, baby. but what I kind of realized was, oh, I actually want something more than that. I want to find my dream lover. And so when I did become this better version of myself, I did start attracting more of the women that I liked. But I was also still attracting a lot of the women that I guess where I was misaligned back then was I never gave myself the chance of, oh, what if this could last longer than just a few weeks or a few months? Mm-hmm. But for me, for a while, even though I was becoming more my authentic self, I also started just being trapped now in being being with women that were kind of unavailable. They wanted to have sex, but they weren't really available to me fully. And so I could say these things and we could have a romance, but then they'd be gone. And then I had to start over this entire process all over again. And I remember thinking, you know, this sounds great. This seems like a cool lifestyle of being able to go wherever I want and able to create a romance with someone. But at some point I realized, you know, how awesome would it be to meet someone that kind of matches me on all levels, not just on the she's sexy and we have chemistry level, but what if she matches me on all the levels? And so that's kind of like where I started to try to figure out how to get towards that, because, you know, in the end, I've always been a romantic. So I've always wanted that partner where you could just spend all these romances with. And that's kind of like, so that's what I've been kind of working towards these last, I guess, even the last year or so.
Got it. So you kind of, instead of going down the, you know, pickup route, as they say, trying to, you know, bang every girl you meet, you found that there wasn't so much satisfaction in that, which I think most guys eventually realize. It takes some of us longer than others to realize that. Like I had to sleep with, you know, a few hundred to like be like, okay, maybe the quantity isn't the thing I'm after.
Yeah, but from even your story, you had a lot of experiences that kind of, I mean, you got to open a lot of doors to get your experiences so that you could finally say, you know what, I think I'm ready, which is
right.
Amazing.
Yeah, that, I needed that, you know, and I think as a guy, you have to ask yourself, what do I need and what do I want and follow that. You know, that's something I need to do. Obviously, it sounded like for you, you didn't have that crazy desire to, you know, go and sleep with every woman, which is probably more healthy and great. And but, you know, every guy is different, of course. So I think it's so important to follow, you know, what it is that you want to do rather than getting sucked down a rabbit hole just because everyone else is saying that's the thing you should do, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's where what the piece that I was talking about, even the alignment piece that we're talking about, like I was going after attractive women. I remember even one night when like I was, you know, I was at a club and I remember thinking, you know, I want to get the hottest girl. I want that super, you know, the one that everyone, where she rejects everyone, but I get her. And I remember that night, I remember she actually came back with me and she came back home with me and how the story happened was, you know, I was dancing with her and then her friend was also there and this random guy, her friend was really interested in this other guy. And then I was like, well, I'm pretty close to my place. Why don't we all come to my place? And so everyone came over to my place. I didn't know who this guy was. Her, this other guy and her friend slept in a random room at my place. And I spent the other time with the other girl. And I remember after that night, I was like, wow, like what I always wanted, like even from this, you know, I've always wanted the dream girl, the hottest girl at the club. And I finally got her. And I remember thinking, oh, was that it? Like, that was cool. I mean, what a great adventure and story from it. Mm-hmm. But was that it? You know, and I remember thinking, well, maybe there's more, maybe I should go back to what I really desire, what I really want. And so even for the last year, that's kind of what I've been kind of going towards more.
Did you feel like it wasn't all that it was sort of like built up to be in your mind because the connection piece was gone? Like you didn't feel that strong of a connection with her other than the fact that you guys were both attracted to each other and she was the hottest?
Yeah, you know, I thought that like, oh, I remember thinking, well, if the more attractive she is, then the more I'm gonna like her. But it wasn't even that. Like, it was like, I realized I needed that emotional connection more than just the attractiveness. Because the attractiveness, like I remember spending time, like, you know, 1 hour with her, you know, having romances and all that. And after that, after the whole being together for like an hour, I was like, I was a little bored. I was like, well, what else? I want to know more. I want your entire heart, your soul, your body, your mind. I want all of it. And I only get the hot piece. That's it. And it didn't do it enough for me. So it felt like for me, I wanted your whole, give me everything, all of it.
And did you feel like you weren't getting it from her because of the way that you were being, or more of just she wasn't sort of like clicking with you in the way, it was more about who she was?
Yeah, I think it was just more who she was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of just who she was. When I learned that maybe, you know, she's a little more on the, you could say, the more superficial side of things, or so I guess in the end it was like, yeah, I kind of want someone a little more deeper that can kind of connect me on that level, and was on the same.
Yeah, that's always the, you know, in my experience, the, you know, as I got better and better maybe at attraction, you could say, or I got more confident, or I started sleeping with women who had, you know, higher status in the sexual marketplace, I found that there was a inverse relationship with sort of like their depth. And it was like the hotter they were, often the less I felt like I could connect with them, the more sort of walls they had, and the more likely they would be kind of, you know, not that cool or not so interesting. So, you know, that's kind of, did you experience any of that? Your story certainly sounds like it. At least this particular girl.
Yeah. Well, I think it was probably more so the environment in this situation, because I was at a club. You know, yeah. It was a very specific type of kind of seedy club. But, you know, I think there are awesome women everywhere, to be honest. You know, there are going to be some really attractive women that are not, you know, just not vibe with me, or just not on that level. But then there are also really attractive women that do vibe. So it's right. I think it more so depends on just kind of like the style of the woman. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. Like there are really attractive, intelligent women, but then at the same time, there are also attractive women that don't want anything but like, you know, like, the more base, you know, like the more luxurious things or whatever.
Right. All right. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sugar babies.
Yeah, sugar babies. Exactly. I couldn't find the right word, but thank you, Robbie.
Yeah. So you talk a lot about kind of calling in the one, right? And obviously focusing on the quality versus the quantity. And this is a tough question. This is actually, you know, a question that, you know, you sent to me. So I'm really curious how you're going to answer this one. Because if I were to ask the question, it would be like throwing a crazy curveball at you. But you sent it to me. So I'm going to ask you. So how do you captivate the full heart, body, and mind of a woman? This is a great question. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And I realized, oh wow, I'm throwing myself in a hole, but let me try my best to answer this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the biggest thing when I'm kind of looking for, you know, to do that, well first of all, I can't really do that. I can't do that to any woman. But it's more so I'm like in the search of someone who will completely surrender to me.
Okay.
And when you can get someone to completely surrender to you in every level, where she says, I want to give you my body, I want to give you my mind, my soul, I want to give you my commitment, all of it. There's something really special about that. And I think the only way to kind of do that is to do that yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the best, right? That's like, you know, because I've been in relationships. I think that was maybe my most painful relationship where I felt like I almost had that with this girl that I was like, you know, I was giving that to her, but she wasn't quite giving it to me. It was like 99% of it, but that 1% I knew was missing, and it drove me nuts. And it wasn't like anything specific, right? But it was just something wasn't quite there, and she wasn't willing to fully surrender, as you say. And I eventually broke it off with her because I'm like, she, you know, she wasn't present some of the time because of that. There's just always this one little thing, like I said, 1%. So, and that's the best feeling in the world, I think, when two people have that full surrendering to each other. I mean, that's like true intimacy, you could say, right? On all the levels.
Yeah. And it's, well, I mean, at least I don't know 100%, but it sounds like you're kind of in it right now with,
you know, I'm engaged, and that it's, you know, when we felt that very early, you know, in the, you know, when we started dating, it was just, I had just never really felt like that with anyone else before, where it wasn't just me feeling like that. It was her too, right? All of my other experiences where either I felt it fully and she didn't, or vice versa. But, you know, this one was like, no, we're both there 100%. And that was the coolest feeling ever. Cause it's like, well, fuck, like why even bother dating or doing anything else? Because this experience of life is so much more powerful.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Absolutely. And I'm kind of in a situation, similar situation right now where I'm with a woman that's, we're just both completely surrendered to each other. And it's the most amazing thing. And if we go back to even the earlier conversation that we had, you know, the reason why I couldn't find someone like that back in the day was because when I was learning all these cool dating tricks or whatever, I was always holding myself back from surrendering fully, right? So if I was not 100% fully surrendered, how can I be on the energy level of attracting someone that is at that same level, you know, when I'm only giving a piece of myself to them? So
I'm curious. I call that my version of what I used to do. I called it whipped cream on shit because... You know, I felt like there was something, I just had these like insecurities about XYZ and I felt like, oh, well, whatever. They don't need to know about those. Let me just give you all my awesomeness and then, you know, and then we'll be good. But what I was really doing was I was like, here's the whipped cream underneath. I feel like shit. That was kind of the barrier. And it was similar to what you said. I kind of had this like Joe cool guy persona that I would hide behind. So what was that, a similar feeling for you, the whipped cream on shit, or something different?
It was exactly that. There was that, and also, you know, like also there was that, and then also being something that I wasn't as well on top of that. So there's not only whipped cream on shit, there's even more shit underneath or on top of the whipped cream surrounding
chocolate and whipped cream and strawberries on shit.
Yeah, exactly. I remember even one time when this was in college, I had a roommate that was really attractive. Like, you know, he was always really good with women. And he was this gangstery type of guy. He had a bald head. You know, he kind of walked the swagger. He sagged his pants. And I was thinking, man, maybe if I was like that, you know, like if I just like buzz my head and just like start wearing baggier shirts and baggier pants and had you know, some nice boxer briefs so that I could show people I can sag, then people would like me. And I remember I would just walk up to people and be like, sup, And they're like, and people were like, my friends were saying, Patrick, what are you doing? You're being extremely strange and weird, like, recently. This is definitely not you. So they can smell that shit and whipped cream and mm-hmm. and, you know, strawberries all kind of combined together.
So how do you know if someone is the one?
Yeah.
Is it just kind of what we talked about, the full surrendering?
It is that full surrendering. And it's kind of similar to in our podcast episode that we had together on my show, mm-hmm. where you said at some point there's this quiet feeling where you just kind of know.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. and for me, when I met my current girlfriend right now, I remember I had a moment where I just, like, knew. I was like, we're going to take this to the speed of light. Like even after the third date, I already knew, like, hey, I want you to be my girlfriend, you know? and I remember even telling her, I mean, this kind of rolled off the top of my tongue, but I told her, you know, I love you. like wow, this is kind of crazy. I'm a little crazy right now, and I know the difference between infatuation and love, but I'm sure I'm in love with you.
And what did she say?
She's like, I want to tell you that, but I didn't know if it was okay. I okay. Absolutely love you too.
Nice. Yeah. And that was on the third date.
It was on the third date, and you know, if I were in some kind of dating advice, generally, you know, like, you know, they'll tell you, you probably don't want to say that.
Right.
And I usually don't say that. Like, it probably takes me at least a few months, you know, before I say that typically.
Yeah.
But this one just rolled out of my tongue. I'm in full surrender. All right, here it is.
And you felt like she was too. And
I could feel that she was 100%. So. Right.
So there's obviously some butterflies about saying it, of course, but I'm sure it wasn't a shock when she was like, yeah, me too. Because you guys were in that same vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing was, do you know, like, that meme where Tom Cruise is jumping on top of a couch because he's so excited about Kate?
With Oprah, right?
Yeah, of Oprah. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm in love.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't that. It wasn't that feeling. Because a lot of people, when they feel like they're in love, you know, it's they have that feeling going for them where they think, yeah, that's love. Oh, I'm so crazy about it. But I've always I had a different feeling. It was more like a super calm feeling of like, wow, I love you. Hmm. Like, I adore you. Mm-hmm. You are my dream lover. You're my queen. And I it's like a very slow simmering feeling. And that's how I knew that this is my type of love. Because, you know, that one, I just told you a story a second ago about when I was at the club and I met the hottest girl. That was not the same feeling. That was the feeling of anxiety of like, oh my God, I can't believe, oh, this is so cool. Oh my God, I got this girl. This was like the most calm, nice, loving feeling that I had with this person. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how you know when someone is your love.
Yeah, I can relate, because I felt something similar. And the quote unquote love, I guess, I had felt with some other partners in the past was more of that Tom Cruise sort mm-hmm. of, I don't know, we could call it infatuation or whatever it was, or maybe fantasy, I think is a better way to describe it. It's like, you know, like if you're jumping up and down on the couch, saying I'm in love, you know, it's like, like I won the jackpot, I won the lottery, but maybe I wasn't supposed to. Right. Yeah. Or like I got lucky, that sort of thing, which is all wrong. Right. That's like something that you can lose. You can, like, you have to.
Yes.
You know, you didn't sort of show up to just have that happen in a way. And I know we're talking a little bit theoretical, but I feel like that's the best way. And I mean, obviously we're talking about love, which is an unquantifiable energy.
Sure. Right? Sure. Absolutely.
So, you know, how else can you describe it, of course, but yeah, I really like the distinction you made, and also the distinction about that surrendering, because I never really knew how to describe the difference before until you said that just now. So I'm like, oh yeah, that was it. We were both fully surrendered, and in prior relationships, it was never that case. Usually it was me that, like, usually, you know, the woman was surrendering to me, and I kind of knew in the back of my mind, like, oh, something's not quite right, or it's not quite the right time. And I would drag those relationships out because I was either too afraid to break up, or then I'd cheat. And I mean, I was a piece of shit. whereas if I would have just, like, listened to my internal state and be like, am I really going to surrender 100% to this person? I would, you kind of know a lot of the time on the, you know, the second you see them, or even on the first date, right? Yeah. You know, like, do I want to surrender fully to this person? And if the answer is not hell yes, you should probably cut your losses sooner rather than later.
Well, yeah, that's true. Unless you're kind of on the stage of discovering, right? This might not be my dream lover or my queen, but maybe I need to learn from this relationship about something.
Oh, for sure.
For you got a lot of learning experiences from going through so many relationships, or even, you know, spending so much time with different women.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a very important point, because imagine if someone's listening and they're a virgin, and then they hear what I said. And they're about to lose their virginity. Like, you know, I'm not quite feeling that 100% surrender. I'm gonna call it quits on this one.
Yeah. All right. Exactly.
Important point. So how quickly should you get physical in a romantic situation? How quickly did you get physical in your story with your current girlfriend? And how quickly do you feel like you should get physical in general or other situations?
Sure. Well, I think that it's always kind of like dependent upon the relationship itself. So when there are, I wasn't physical with one of my girlfriends until like 3 months into the relationship or so. Mm-hmm. And then I was also wasn't physical with someone because, you know, we kind of knew each other, but we didn't know each other, you know, like we knew each other, but they were in a relationship, I was in a relationship, or something else was happening. And then later on, we finally, you know, got physical on the first night after all this pent up energy of wanting to be with each other. Mm-hmm. But then, it comes always back to, are we both ready now? And my current girlfriend, we were physical, like, kind of like right off the gate, pretty, you know, on the first, second date, you know, so it all kind of depends, but I always say this, I always value a woman more when she's going to surrender herself early on than later on. Like, cause it always feels like if I had to play a game to win her over in order for her to now want to sleep with me, it always feels like a little game. I'm like, well, if you feel it and I feel it and we want to, why not?
Right. Yeah, you can tell the difference when, you know, what I think from both sides, like when a guy is pushing too hard because he wants to kind of get that check mark or get the notch on the bedpost, right? Like women are going to feel that and be like, all right, maybe I would have slept with you, but you're obviously more interested in that and kind of just like, you know, that sort of vibe, which is not what I'm about. And also vice versa. When a woman is intentionally holding off sex because she feels like, you know, if she gives it up, she'll lose you.
Yeah.
Because she's had a lot of those experiences with guys who have like just wanted her for sex. But, you know, I think you have to know the difference, you know, as the man and the woman. And finding that time when it's right for both of you is so important.
Yeah.
You know, and if you miss that window, it can totally sabotage a good situation.
For sure. And the last thing I would even say on this is that I actually try to even go slower than the woman. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so if a woman is like, why don't we do this? I'm like, wait, I haven't even kissed you here yet. I haven't even done these things yet. we don't have to rush. We have all the time in the world.
That's so sexy to them, because that every guy is doing the opposite of that. You know,
everyone's rushing her. Like, right. let's have sex. I'm like, darling, I'm not even done kissing you on your feet yet. Give me your feet.
Gotta go the ankles. I got the calf.
I'm moving up. You gotta go from down to up, okay? And you're gonna have to be okay with that.
How about switching gears a little bit? How dealing with breakups? Because that's something that most people in the dating community don't talk about a lot. They talk about how to get someone, but how do you deal with the breakup and getting over someone, especially if you've been hurt badly?
Yeah, I think, like we were talking about earlier, you had in your story, you had a bad moment where someone friend zoned you and it kind of messed you up a little bit. And you're like, well, maybe I need to figure this out. Well, I kind of had a similar situation where, when I got really like you feel the pain of being rejected, especially by someone you really, really like, it's easy to go, oh, well, I'm not going to surrender again. I'm not going to give my full self again. I can't do that. I don't want to get hurt again.
Yeah.
And if you want to be able to kind of heal from that breakup, or even break up from that, or heal your breakup, heal from your breakup, you want to, I guess the best way is to know that deep down, like who you are I'm gonna go a little deep, so I hope I don't lose you on this one.
No, go for it.
But the fastest way to heal is to know that you're not the sad person or those feelings.
Those are just feelings that you're experiencing, but you're not those feelings.
Yeah. And if you can see that who you are is fine, you can always come back to that fine moment or fine self. Like if you can see that you're meant to heal.
Okay.
Like humans are meant to heal. Like, like even when we get a cut, if we don't do anything about it, we heal. Like the cut heals itself. The mind heals itself when we don't focus too much on it. Like when we can just see that pain that's hurting us is just because we think it sometimes, then we'll always come back to that nice feeling again.
Right. No, I know why you said you might lose me, but you haven't at all. It's a very important distinction. And I think people, if they're listening to that and they're like, what the fuck? Like, then you really need to listen closely, because this is a really important thing, what you said, because we do get so kind of wrapped up in our emotions and we think, like we start to think, I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm a sad person, I'm broken. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not you at all. That's, those are just emotions that are, hopefully passing through you. Because what do emotions do? They pass. But if you don't let them pass and you turn the emotion into a story about who you are, then you get stuck. Right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And so is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. So, and the only times that, cause what happened already that, this old relationship happened in the past, and all it was, it's just a moment of thought that you had from the past. Mm-hmm. So if you can see that right now, if you even focus and look in your hands right now, just take a look at your hands, you're back into this moment. You're actually in this moment. You're actually in the present moment.
Right.
And the present moment will always protect you. If you're here, you're always going to be okay. But when you go back to those sad moments of this beautiful relationship you had, the story you've created, it's hard. It's easy to get stuck there.
Right. And I think I've been working with a client for a long time now who's been dealing with just a horrible breakup that he hasn't been able to get over and is one of those on again, off again sort of things. But there's so much of a story wrapped up in how she's perfect for him.
Yeah.
If only she would go to therapy and if only all these things would happen. But these if only things are like gigantic things that he has no control over whatsoever. And a lot of guys get stuck in this. I mean, I at some points I, you know, found myself in those same situations where dealing with a breakup and my mind was so attached to like, how did I fuck it up? What mistakes did I make? How could I have like not made the mistakes and done it better? So I, you know, that wouldn't happen in the future. And I think there is some value in obviously looking at ways where you could have been, you know, a better human being or a better partner or things that you could have done that you can improve on. But that's a lot different than kind of like putting all the burden on yourself and creating a story in your mind that you lost your dream girl and you're fucked because you're never going to get her back.
Exactly. Yeah. Woo. I think that was that was a big loop right there. That was nice.
Yeah, that was good. I think that was, you know, hopefully guys who are listening to this and have been in that situation can understand the difference. So yeah, I guess if you're caught in something like that, or you feel like you're unable to do it, what are some steps? I guess what you said, it's kind of like a meditation in a sense, like you're feeling the pain and you realize, okay, this is pain. This is something that I need to feel right now. So later I don't need to feel it. Right. And it's not who I am. It's just, you know, and kind of give yourself the allow yourself to kind of just be sad. I'm just going to be sad, or I'm just going to, you know, feel this fully, I guess you could say. I think it can hopefully pass faster. You know, that's certainly what worked for me in the past, doing a lot of meditation, you know, spending time with the right people. I think that's, as far as getting over a breakup, in terms of something you can do, is surround yourself with really positive people that inspire you, that are doing the things that you want to do in life, versus sitting around thinking about your ex and how you fucked it up or how you can fix her, right?
Yeah. And
anything else that comes to mind about like how to deal with it, like steps someone can take?
Yeah, well, like you just kind of said it right there, right, Robbie? Like the more you beat yourself up over, oh man, I wish this worked out. I wish this were different. I wish it worked out this way instead. I wish it was this way instead. Instead of wishing and beating yourself up why it didn't work, what if you did the best that you could and it was supposed to work out that way?
Right. I like that. I mean, you did, because you did. You did the best you could. Right?
Yeah. Like you couldn't have done better because you did the best you could knowing what you had.
Yeah. A really important distinction I learned a long time back, or it's kind of a quote, is, you know, you look at humans, like they're always doing, they did the best with what they had. Right.
Yeah.
You can kind of look at almost any for them, right. In their mind, they were doing the best thing for themselves. And, you know, if you, sometimes we get into these like victim, persecutor sort of roles. Like, how could they do that? Like, well, they were doing what they thought was the best thing for their life.
Yes. Right.
Maybe that was a fucked up thing for your life. Of course, it doesn't excuse maybe what they did. It doesn't make it right or wrong, but simply having that, like getting out of that victim perpetrator sort of, or guy who's dumped, or guy who got, you know, guy who's dumping her, these sort of, you know, these ways of being, or these characters, like we were talking about earlier, like the cool guy character, right? We get stuck in these characters. It can be really, you know, detrimental.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
So two more questions. The second last one, how do you work through your insecurities so you don't kind of sabotage future relationships?
Yeah, so... Ooh, this is a big question, man. Did I kind of suggest this one at some point? Okay, let's see.
Well, we're talking about insecurity, so it was.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, insecurities. You know, a lot of people like to focus on they like to make up stories, like we were talking about what's not, why someone wouldn't like someone like them, right? I have a lot of stories myself. I can tell myself a lot of stories about, you know, all the terrible things about me. But at the end of the day, all insecurities are just you thinking about something negative about yourself in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's and sure, like, there are things that you can control and there are things you can't control. Like, for instance, if you're not the tallest person, you can't really control that unless you go to maybe China, break your legs, and then try to get a little taller.
There's a surgery that's becoming surgery. More and more popular.
Yeah. But even from that, I know guys who are short and still met their dream lover. Yeah. So if they did it, given what they got, why can't you?
Right. So yeah. So let's say you are that shorter guy and, you know, you haven't met your dream lover. Maybe you've had some close calls, but, you know, you're like, oh, I made some mistakes and I'm too short, and girls, you know, there's so many unfortunate, disempowering things. You know, you go on YouTube and you Google, like, you know, what do women care about most? And it's like height, right? And then it says,
sure.
85% of women won't date a guy who's under 5'8", right? And you're like, 5'8", that's like normal height, right?
Yeah,
and for sure. Do all these studies, right? And
for sure.
And they're interviewing women. They're like, would you date a guy under 5'8"? You know, she's 5'6", and she's going to say, no, I wouldn't, because I want to wear heels and blah, blah, blah. But then when the 5'4" guy comes over, who's fucking bawling, attractive, social status, you know, sweeps her off her feet, and then they're banging. Oh, suddenly that nonsense in her mind went out the window, right?
I've always told, okay, like, so I'm Asian, by the way, in case you're listening to the audio version, but like a lot of people would always tell me, oh yeah, you know, Asian men aren't attractive, for instance, right? Like, they're not, Asian men are not attractive. And so a lot of even Asian men that talk to me about this stuff, they're like, well, you know, I'm Asian. I can't date these other types of women because women don't like Asian men.
And so that's the crazy one. It's shitty for Asian guys. Cause like,
fuck. Yeah.
Like Asian guys, I think Indian guys have it worse. There's a bigger stereotype.
Or let's say you're Indian.
At least in the US. Right.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when someone hears that, they automatically go into, well, they're not going to like me. And they go into their interactions thinking, oh, like while I'm talking to them, they're not going to like me. They're not going to like me. And so while they're connecting with someone, that woman is going to not connect with him because he's constantly in his head thinking about, she's not going to like me. And she's going to disconnect from him. So, right. So that's why, because you're so disconnected to yourself around your insecurities. And if you got off of your insecurities, you'd have a better chance of connecting. And a lot, in the past, women have often said, or I've heard this from women say, you're the first Asian guy I've ever been with. And
that's gotta feel good.
and I'm like, well, that feels good, but it's probably because other men, some Asian men don't have the confidence to talk to you,
right?
Because they've already disqualified themselves from even talking to you. And that's what I mean from coming back full circle to when I was younger in high school. I thought none of these women no woman would ever want to talk to me. So even if a woman were to talk to me, I just sabotaged that relationship or a potential relationship.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's so important what you said, because if you have that story, right, if you're an Asian guy and you're like, you know, hot girls don't date Asian guys. Like, I even had a really hot friend who's Asian girl in university, and she said, I don't date Asian guys. I'm like, you're Asian. Like, what are you, like, racist against yourself? She's like, no, I just don't like Asian guys. And she married an Asian guy. So, later.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Because, you know, women's, not just women, everyone says stupid shit, right? And we all, but, you know, if you're an Asian guy and you hear this hot Asian girl saying, I don't like Asian guys, and you already have some insecurities around your dating life, there's a decent chance you're going to be like, fuck, let's add that one to the mix and make it even more difficult.
For sure.
So yeah, I think it's so important just to, like you said, every insecurity is just some sort of bullshit on some level, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Robbie, now you're a very handsome man. I couldn't imagine you having any insecurity. Just, I mean, I would imagine if someone saw you, they'd be like, Robbie's got no insecurities, but I'm sure you've got some.
Oh man,
even before when you were back in the day.
Oh, I had terrible insecurities over my weight, over my big Jewish nose, you know, especially if you look at it from this side, you know, so I take the photos on this side when it's more straight, you know, on this side, right? But it's, you know, because of course, and, you know, I was even in a seminar one time, and it was like a personal growth seminar, and there was like the seminar leader, and everyone was kind of going around talking about their insecurity or whatever, and I was like, yeah, mine is like of my weight. You know, I was never fat, but I was like chubby, right?
Yeah,
never obese, you could say. I was close, but that was my biggest insecurity. But, you know, not far behind that was my nose, and then my balding hair. And the seminar leader, when I said, yeah, I'm insecure about my weight, she goes, well, what about your big nose?
Yeah, for sure.
And she used that as an example, of course, because she's like, once you get over the first one, right? Or if you fix it some way, you get liposuction, or even if you lose the weight, you're still going to have more, right? Like we're always going to have insecurities, and it's whether or not we give them power, we let them like stop us is more of the important thing, right? Because everyone has them. They don't fucking matter. And that was kind of her point. So
that's true. Like, who cares?
Right. You're going to find someone who likes the big nose. Yeah. Right? Or at least doesn't give a shit. Or she doesn't notice.
Or someone who doesn't mind, you know, a shorter person. Right. So I was a matchmaker for a little while, and I talked to women all day long, and a lot of, and some women, it's true. Like, they're like, I've only go on a date with someone that at least this tall. But then there were also other women that were like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I care about these things more. Like, I care, like, you know, something that I heard from like these women were like, I want someone who's actually like a genuinely sweet guy, you know, and for them, that's hard to find. So like, I have tall guys come up to me all the time, but I care more about if someone's sweet. You know, and I set them up with clients that were not that tall, and they had a great date.
Yeah, you know, in my experience, most of the women who are saying that I don't date XYZ or I have to have this, these are women who don't really know themselves and who are going to change their mind in the future when they get older and when they realize that those things don't matter as much, right? Most 19-year-old girls are going to have their checklist of, I went this, right? But when they turn 27, they're like, oh, all those things that I thought mattered, they didn't, because I was young and naive. And in my experience, it's usually the most beautiful women tend to have the least sort of like disqualifier things, because if you're an insanely beautiful woman, you're getting attention from everyone. Right.
Yeah.
And you have the most data to decide who is, what things matter the most, who are the top echelon guys. And those things that matter the most are your charisma, your personality, how successful you are, like, and not how much money you make, but just how much value do you bring to the world, sort of thing. Like, you know, can you command a room? And it's never like, are you 5'6" or taller? Do you have black hair? Do you have blue eyes? Like, those things only matter to, you know, people who don't get it. So if you're a guy listening to this and you're like, oh, well, I'm this, like, the girl you want, and probably the hottest girls out there and the most attractive, not just physically, but internally, they don't care. And you shouldn't either, I think.
Mm. Yeah. And now maybe some of these women are only looking for someone that's super tall, right? But that's okay. That's great. It's like, they're not for you. That's fine. That's
let them have their basketball player.
Yeah, let them find a basketball player. Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually the shortest ones too. That's the funny thing. Yeah, the shortest girls are looking for the time.
that is true. Yeah, they're like, I need to feel protected. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people find you? Any other sort of, you know, last advice or anything you wanted to add, you know, anything burning that you feel like is important to add to the conversation? And if not, like, how do people get more and learn more about what you do?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much, Robbie. So I would say the last thing I would just say is kind of reiterating everything. When you're able to start listening to yourself a little better and you start trusting yourself more, you're going to start just finding the lover of your dreams, the closer you will be to finding that person. Mm-hmm. And if they want to find me, they can go to patrickwu.org and check out my stuff there.
Cool. And your book is called, The Art of Woo, right?
The Art of Wooing.
The Art of Wooing.
Yeah, but it's close. There it is. Yeah. And I want to say thank you so much, Robbie, for being the best host and everything. And it's great to just share even stories with you as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this conversation. I think, we hit on some cool, deep topics I wasn't necessarily expecting to go to at all. But what came out was great, I think.
Oh, yeah. It was super fun.
Yeah, especially the breakup stuff. Like, these are topics I haven't talked about in a really long time. So. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if you're listening to this episode, come listen to my episode on the Wooist podcast so you can hear Robbie's version of his story.
I'm going to link below. So check out my interview on the Wooist podcast too, guys.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Robbie.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.